Good morning. Good to see all of you here. We're glad to be in the house of God. We're thankful to have visitors with us this morning. If this is your first time with us, thank you so much for joining us here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. We're glad to have you here. Junior choir, you did a great job. Again, from 4 to 12 years old, if you have a child would like to participate in that, they need to be at practice at 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings. And there is a youth choir as well. At that same time, 6 o'clock, they will meet, and from 12 actually till 20 something. I don't know. Some of them that just don't grow up. 25, I think, is a youth choir. It's kind of there. But then the regular adult choir as well, that's available. They practice after church on Sunday night, and they'd love to have you participate in that. Well, it's a sad thing that took over in France, didn't it? We need our prayers. Their leadership needs our prayers. And Brother Jim, would you stand and ask the Lord to bless that nation with wisdom, with fortitude, to be able to take care of the things that must take care in the days ahead.
Father, we come for you this morning, Lord, as a needy people. Lord, we acknowledge our need for you. Father, we're faced with an enemy, Lord, that hates you. Lord, we want to destroy those who believe in you. And they have shown their power in the country of France, Lord, one of our long allies. And those people are hurting this morning because of their loss. Lord, we pray that you would grant comfort to them. Lord, that you would receive the glory even in tragedy. People who look to you, Father, we are our nation, that we are also facing a similar enemy, Lord, and even within our midst, Lord, we pray for our leadership, and we pray for the leadership of France, Lord, that you would guide them to doing those things that would please you, but most of all, that they might look to you, because you are the great King, Lord, you are our Lord. Father, you have any answers, Lord, we pray you provide them to our leaders.
Amen. Romans, if you would, chapter 4 this morning. Please stay in a continual state of prayer about the situation there and in other places. The old adage still goes, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for one day. And teaching the fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. The answer is not always bringing 10,000 refugees into the land. We are a very giving nation, very kind, kind-hearted nation. We better pray for wisdom for our leaders as they go through this. Well, Pastor, it's already happening. Yeah, God is still on the throne. He doesn't change who he is or who we want him to be or who the others around us would have him to be. So, he is God. He is God. We're going to talk about grace this morning. Because of grace, maybe is the, if you're looking for a title, because of grace, Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3. Romans 4 and verse number 3. For what saith the Scripture? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? I think that's a question that many of us should ask ourselves daily, sometimes several times a day. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The Bible says over in Romans chapter number 10, Romans chapter number 10 this morning, in verse 10, Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I guess you could call it because of grace, or maybe take a phrase from that first passage we read where it says, not reckoned unto grace, but we could say reckoned unto grace. There's a lot of folks, dear friend, that are trying to work themselves to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, it's according to His mercy. Now listen, our life is full of spiritual battles, spiritual struggles. The Bible says in Galatians 5 that our flesh and our spirit war against one another. They're contrary to one another. But I'm going to tell you, you're not alone. You're not all by yourself in your spiritual battle. Who's with me? Other Christians, other believers are fighting spiritual battles as well. Now, their battle may be completely different than yours, may be on a different front, but we are all in a battle for sure. And Paul understood this. Paul understood it. If you would, over in Romans chapter number 8, Romans chapter number 8. Paul understood this here fact that spiritual conflicts are common to us all. Now, these conflicts between the flesh and spirit, I mean, they are there, and we have to deal with them. Romans 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore. Now, why is that therefore there? You got to ask yourself that question. There is therefore. So, there's a reason. So you'd have to back up into verse chapter 7. And chapter 7 deals with a lot of spiritual battles. In verse 19 in particular, Paul writes there, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So Paul understood that we have these here spiritual conflicts, these spiritual battles. And as he looked back and he reflects on his there from verse chapter 8, verse number 1, he goes back and he lets us know where he was at. And he come to a conclusion in the whole matter of this spiritual war, spiritual conflict, there in verse number 25, if you would, in chapter 7. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Paul understood that the victory was in Jesus Christ. Now our spiritual battles, the victory is in Christ Jesus. It's not in our own strength, our own work. And by grace we have the ability to fight these battles and to win these battles and to make it through the situation which we're in. But there's a lot of folks, dear friend, I'm just to be honest with you, that are working themselves to heaven. When you work yourself to heaven, dear friend, you remove the grace of God. You say, I can do it, and you don't need God. Now listen, I'm hearing it over and over again. Well, I'm going to get saved and I'm going to keep myself saved. And I'm going to do these things that are going to help me to become saved. I'm going to be part of these ordinances. I want to be a member of this particular church, and that's going to help me to be saved. Oh, dear friend, you're working yourself somewhere, but it is not to heaven. You are not going to work yourself into heaven. If you would, go back to John 3. John chapter 3 of the Bible, in the Gospel of John. Remember that phrase, what saith the Scripture? John chapter 3 and verse number 17. Paul said in Romans number 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Well, look here in John chapter 3 and verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Nowhere in this passage do we see where it says that he that worketh on his faith or in his faith, there's no condemnation. When Paul says in Romans chapter number 8, verse 1, there's therefore no more condemnation to them in Christ Jesus, he's referring back to these passages of Scripture. Remember in Romans 4, what saith the Scripture? When we have spiritual talks and we talk about spiritual things, dear friend, with our friends, with family, with those that are around us, we need to have Bible for what we're saying. There's too many make-up stories and make-up things, and they do not follow along with what saith the Scripture. The Bible says that in verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. A lot of folks are working at it. A lot of folks are hoping so. A lot of folks are putting a lot of effort into it. But you're removing the grace of God. And I don't know about you, dear friend. It is God's grace that we need, not our works. Our works are failing us at best. We are failures when we stand in our own works at best. We stand before God. We are just lost without Him, without hope, alienated from God. And we are guaranteed to stay inside these struggles that we're in when we try our best to work for salvation, or after we're saved, I'm going to keep doing these set of things or these rules, or I'm going to keep following this pattern that is formed and formulated, and if I keep doing that, it's going to keep my salvation. Wow, you're awful powerful. Because the Bible says there's no condemnation to them who have believed. Look at verse 19 of that same chapter in John 3. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Listen, it's not through our works or through the light that we can bring. It's because of the light of God, Jesus Christ, which came into this world. And people who want to work for their salvation, they need to read verse 19. They don't go, there's the condemnation that the light has come to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. When we go before God with our works, it's saying, look what we can do. But when we stand before God in our works, we realize we need the grace of God. When we try to present something to a holy God, the creator of this universe, that is second at best, as Malachi says, you come with offerings bringing the second best, like with a blind goat or a blind animal to offer to God. That's how we stand before God, with our works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. But we need God's grace. And if you stand in your own works, you're condemned already. That's what verse 18 says. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The gavel of God's judgment has fallen. Condemned. But yet He sent His only begotten Son. If you believe on Him, He pardons the condemnation. That's where Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now listen, as you look at this, grace guarantees that there's no condemnation. But works guarantees condemnation. Because of grace, there's therefore no more condemnation. For man believeth in his heart unto righteousness. It's all in belief in Christ Jesus. It's all in faith in Christ Jesus. We'll go back to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. So all these spiritual battles that you're having, dear friend, victory is through the grace of God. Back in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 3 again. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not Abraham offered sacrifices. Not Abraham sold his land. And not Abraham left his foreign land and went to another land. And that was, it was Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteous. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward. And what does it say? Not reckoned of grace, but of debt. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Titus 3 and 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. There is no condemnation when you stand in the grace of God. Now go back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse 2. Because of grace, dear friend, it guarantees us that there is no legalization of works in our life. Look at verse number 2, Romans chapter 8, verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from what? From the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Look at verse number 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled where? In us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Grace, the grace of God guarantees us that there is no condemnation. I stand before God and I'm there and the devil calls me by my sin. Hey, you fornicator. Hey, you adulterer. Hey, you thief. Hey, you criminal. But when I stand under the grace of God and believe in Christ and the work of salvation through Christ and the finished payment of the cross of Calvary, and I put my faith and trust in Christ, like it says in Romans 10:10, for a man believeth unto the heart, God calls me by my name. Amen. But the devil continues to call me by my sin. You're an angry, tempered man. God says, yes, you are, but you are not condemned in grace. Amen. That's the difference. You cannot work yourself into salvation. You are to work out your salvation. You couldn't get it in you, and you can't get it out. It's the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that dwells in us, the Holy Ghost of God, that works itself out of our life. Well, I can do the law, and I can keep the law, and I can do these things. Oh, can you? That's what Romans chapter 8, verse 2 and 3 and 4 talked about. After you saved your friend walking in the flesh, you still cannot fulfill the law. But the law was fulfilled in us. That's what the Bible says, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walketh not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have to be careful. After we have accepted the grace of God and we've trusted Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, we still need the grace of God day by day, hour by hour, week by week. We cannot replace the grace of God. It's the same with repentance. Repentance is not just a one-time event. It is a daily activity in our life that we need to be repenting of things and turning from things as the light of God shines in our life and shows us this is wrong, that's wrong, your attitude's wrong, your motive is wrong. You repent constantly of those things and you turn from those things. We constantly need the grace of God, but some of us, after years of salvation, we stand before God and we say, God, here is my list of do's and don'ts that I have accomplished. I am a polished Christian because of what I've done. We do because of grace. And we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And we work because we are saved. We don't work to keep us saved. No, but I can do it. No, can you? Go with me if you would to Luke. I'll show you somebody in Luke that thought they could do it. Luke chapter 18. And verse number 10. Luke 18:10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee. What's a Pharisee? A keeper of the law. And the other, a what? A publican. What's a publican? A sinner. He's a tax collector. He's one that's despised. So you got one that's, keeps the law, tries his best to keep the law. And the other one who just is a sinner, that is a thief, a collector of taxes beyond the required amount. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Isn't that a sad statement? A man is going to pray, and he's praying thus with himself because God does not hear. You know why God hadn't heard it yet? There's one prayer that God hears of lost people, and that saved me. I'm a sinner. That's what he wants to hear. God, he talked to God. I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. What does the devil call you by? Your sin. And the publican, verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Pharisee boasted of his law keeping, but was lost. The publican cast himself at the mercy and grace of God and was saved. The Galatians tried to mix law and works for salvation. Look over in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Didn't work out too well for them either. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That's Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Scriptures are plain, dear friend. Very plain. The Bible says in verse 24 of chapter 3 of Galatians, chapter 3 and 24, the Bible says there in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. There's one way to come to Christ by salvation. It's not by good works. It's by faith in the work that He did on the cross of Calvary. The payment for our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pray tell, why is it at, before we get saved, we realize it's by grace. Why is it after we've been saved for so long, we flip-flop like some of our politicians and stand upon the works of the flesh? I'm worthy to be a Sunday school teacher because I tithe and I'm here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, these pews are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, plus Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I have yet come up here and one been dismissed. and checked out, went to a football game and came back. Do they deserve to be a... Listen, what you do in the flesh is a battle in the flesh, and we're to walk in the Spirit. You can't legalize salvation, add works to get saved, and add for a dear friend. You can't legalize it to add works to stay saved. We work because we are saved. To say thank you, Lord, for the grace that you have bestowed upon me. You can stand like that publican if you want. I'm not as them. And he prayed to himself. And I tell you this, go back to Romans chapter number 8, verse 35. Grace, dear friend, guarantees that there will be no separation. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's a good question. Now listen to the different scenarios that is put here in the Bible by God Himself. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Well, that's not enough, is it? God says, okay, famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the good works that I do after I'm saved, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It vexed Lot's righteous soul to live like a lost man. That's what the Scripture says. Some of you, after you've been saved by grace, through faith in Christ, get on fire, revert to look at me and what I've accomplished, till you realize that you cannot maintain that race. It's a rat race to try to maintain your standards to impress the world. We are to be accepted in the Beloved, whether present or absent, that we might please Him. That's where we're to be. So you start running out here to the world looking for satisfaction again. We call that a Bible term, backslidden. And you get out in this world and you let this world tamper with your spiritual life, and you start feeding the flesh, and the flesh gets stronger and stronger, and the spirit gets weaker and weaker until you're living like Lot in his family. And then you come to the conclusion that because you've gotten so far away from God, you cannot be pleasing to Him again. You need to read this verse in these chapters and understand that I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of grace, I'm guaranteed of no separation. Oh, how beautiful is the story of the prophet. As the father day by day would look off his porch, wondering where his boy was who had demanded his inheritance. And he demanded and wanted his inheritance, and the Bible says he lived a riotous life, and he was used and abused, and he abused his privileges as a heir to a man who had loved him and cared for him, and he lived as if he had no father. But the father waited. And it was by grace as he came to his senses and came back. But the father hugged him, kissed him, robed him, ringed him, and gave him new shoes. By grace. Because of grace, I'm guaranteed no condemnation. Because of grace, I'm guaranteed that I cannot ever add to my salvation by keeping the law. It is my schoolmaster to bring me to Christ. After I'm saved, it teaches me how to be more like Christ, which is the predestined will of God. Amen. Tell them Calvinists that. That it's the predestined will of God that I be conformed to the image of Christ.
Amen.
And after I've been saved and I've been enticed and the devil brings his claws and his fiery darts into my life and pulls me down and I falter and I fall, you're guaranteed that God still loves you. I cannot understand why Lot lived the way he did. After partaking of the grace and righteousness of God, it vexed him. Some of you are vexed. Vexed. I mean, you are troubled on every side. That is a spiritual battle of the Spirit convicting you of your lifestyle and telling you that you are God's child. Live like it. Act like it. Maybe some of you have never ever responded to the invitation of God for salvation. This message today was as plain as it can get. You're never going to be good enough to be saved or to get saved. You're never going to be too good not to get saved. Come to the Lord. His grace is sufficient. And if you are a Christian who is trying your best to add outward things to prove to others, quit running the rat race and let Christ live through you the hope of glory. And if you're a Christian that's just gone down that road of backslidden estate and you're living your life like you want to, dear friend, I'm telling you, you are going to pay the price. You can live like you want. There's one day when you're going to pay for that lifestyle. Why? Because of His grace. It's all because of grace. Let's stand to our feet. God's grace is sufficient. If you're lost this morning, put down your works. Quit trying to get yourself to heaven and let Christ Jesus do what He did for you on the cross, and that is to become your Savior by faith. Just living your own lifestyle like the prodigal son. God loves you. Come to Him. He will restore your relationship with Him. You're His child.